So, as you already know, several of us spent a lot of time getting this place ready for today, and there were several times that we said, well, we're going to have to go to plan B, and there were times where we're like, yeah, we're on plan E, or double Z. And to be honest, it was hard work, but there was times where it's really fun. We're like, hey, this is cool. God's doing something, and there's other times that it was stressful. You know, where I'm trying to figure this out, and how do I get things done? And about Wednesday of this last week, I was thinking, you know what? At some point, I need to actually write a sermon by Sunday. I already knew what I was going to preach on, or at least I had it plugged into the calendar. So somewhere in there, around Wednesday, Thursday, I thought, I probably should look up what I'm preaching on. And I look up and I'm like, oh, I'm preaching on love this week. Like, who put this schedule together? Because I'm thinking, I start reflecting on conversations and stress and responses to things that are going on, and particularly responses with my wife, and I'm thinking, I'm going to preach on love this week? I must stand up here and tell people, hey, you need to deeply love one another. Lord, can I just preach on diligence? I'm really good at diligence. How about persistence and perseverance? I mean, those are godly traits, right? I can do those. I'm doing them right now, Lord. Look, Lord, I'm even showing people how that's done. He didn't let me change up the sermon. So how do I speak on love? Well, I think you start out by repenting. Now, here's one of the things you'll find out about me. I'm not perfect. I'm authentic. I'll be real, but I'm not perfect. And so, you know, I've got to come to that place where I go, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm not loved as I should love. And I had to go to some other people, namely my wife, and say, man, I've not loved the way that I should, and I don't want to be there. I want to be something different. I want to do something different. So, you know, I'm about Thursday, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I've got repentance, things are good with God. I'm going to knock out this sermon in a couple hours, and just, bam, we're done. Couple hours, I'm good to go. Well, not so fast. I'm at this conference Saturday morning, the Converge Conference, and it's about church planting and what have you, and I'm dreaming about, you know, what Hope Community Church can be. And what God can do through us, but I'm also thinking about, man, what does the church look like, and not just Hope Community Church, but the church in the world, and are we known by love? You know, is that are we known by love? Or are we known by what we're against? And I'm not saying there shouldn't be things that we should be against. Or I don't look out and go, okay, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's good, but somehow things are really messed up, so somewhere in there's some people that aren't okay. But are we known by love? And I can sit there and go, yeah, but I'm not like this guy, God. You know, I'm not like my pastor friends that are, I don't know what they're preaching, but kind of goofy in social media, and you know, and I want to do the stop it, knock it off. But God usually talks to me instead of when He talks to me, He talks to me. Doesn't talk to me about other people. And so we're preparing for communion, and I'm thinking about what Christ did and how Christ loved us. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can go up there and get that communion to process some things with God. Because this verse comes to mind right there at communion, John 13, 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give you. He's talking to his people. And he says, that you love one another. Okay, cool, I can do that. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Just as I have loved you, sacrificially, cost him his life. I mean, this isn't ooey-gooey stuff. This is pouring out your life for others. And he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Yeah. And so, you know, like in those moments, yesterday morning, I guess it was, I had to pause and say, you know what, Lord? I haven't loved as you have loved me. And yet, you still love me. God still pours out that love. It's not a bury my head in the sand kind of thing, but it's still knowing that God deeply loves us where we're at. And at that moment, I understand, okay, God, you love me, but I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to become the person that you're calling me to be. And so I want to turn away from my selfishness. And I want to receive your sacrificial love. I mean, it's coming my way, but I do need to receive it. And I want to love as you have loved. I want people to know, hey, there's something different. Something different about that guy. There's something different about these people. They actually love one another, and they love other people. And you want to know how we're going to reach out to the community? It's by loving people. It's by loving people that are different than us. Because I can look around and go, man, that's weird. That guy doesn't live the way I do. That guy doesn't think the way I do. He doesn't do the things. He doesn't even vote for the right people. But I'm going to love. I'm going to love. Now how do we do that? Let's look at, you know, what is God's love, and then what are the implications for our lives? So let me start with three facts about love. Fact number one, it's a universal need. You are sitting next to somebody that needs to be loved. In fact, you've never looked in the eyes of somebody that did not need love. From the moment we come out of that womb, we are looking for somebody to hold us. To feed us, to let us know that, hey, there's something stable. There's something stable here. There's somebody that loves me, and you know what? It doesn't go away. As you grow, as you get older, you need somebody to look you in the eye and say, you matter. You know, every one of us, we need somebody to say, you matter, you are significant. You are important to me. You have value on this planet, or you have value to me. And you know what? What else we need is when we blow it. Does anybody here ever mess up? Jerry never does. Jerry never does? That's pretty good. All right, we're going to talk to Jerry afterwards.
I love you, man.
Yeah. But you know what we need? We need somebody to say, you know what, I forgive you. And I still love you. You're still significant. You're still important. Everybody desperately needs love. That's fact one. Fact two, there's actually a universal solution to this universal problem. God loves all people everywhere. He longs to meet that desperate need. You by design, we're designed to know God and to love God and to experience His love for you. He demonstrated His love for us. Right? That's why we have a cross here, just to remind us. You want to know if God loves you? You look at that cross. Right. And you say, man, God loves me. And there's no doubt in my mind. He wants to forgive. He wants to encourage. He wants to affirm. He wants to support. He wants you to know that you were created in His image and His likeness. He has a design. He has a purpose for your life. He loves you. Sent His Son to die for your sins. That's really cool to hear laughter in there. Speaking of love, I'm loving that. So we have this universal problem, but we have a universal solution. Fact three. We have a universal disconnect. So we're disconnected. You have to have this unbelievable need. You have this supernatural, unlimited availability. Nevertheless, most people are still starved for love. And as the song goes, a lot of those people are looking for love in the wrong places. I would sing, but you wouldn't come back next week. So we're going to move on. There's three reasons why people don't have this love. First of all, they don't know that God loves them. Nope. And that might be my fault. That might be your fault. That we haven't told them that God loves them. Now let's think about love. If love is water, God's love is an ocean, right? Is that fair enough? If love is water, God's love is an ocean. I think there's a song something about that. But what's that? No singing? All right. These people know me. But some people have never seen the ocean of God's love. You probably have neighbors that live in a desert. It's dry. They're not experiencing the love of God. They don't experience that love with their family and with each other. Somebody told me one time, these people treat me like family. And I said, "What is it? Do they yell at you?" And he said, "Yes, they do." Some people live in a desert. They don't have love because they don't realize there's an ocean of love available to them. Second reason why we don't experience God's love is sometimes we know God's love, but we haven't received it. It's one of those things where it's kind of like you stand at the shore. You come to the shoreline. A lot of people do that with Christianity. It's like, how can I experience some of Christianity, but not actually get into the water? Not dive in deeply. There's some kind of fear. You know what would happen if I really surrendered my life to God? What if I gave God everything? What would happen? And sometimes what happens is anybody ever been hurt in a relationship where you loved anyone? Okay, a couple of you on that one too. Sometimes we say, man, I've been hurt. I've been hurt when I surrender. I've been hurt when I say, okay, I'll receive your love. And we kind of pass that on to God. Henry Nguyen, he asked this, what's the root cause behind Christians that are not experiencing the love of God? And he says this, success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation. But their seductive quality often comes from the way that they are part of a much, much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we come to believe in the voices that call us worthless, unlovable, when the voices that say you're not worthy, we carry in our hearts shame and guilt in a sense that we are unlovable. Success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the voice that God calls us the beloved. So those self, and any of you do those self-rejection things? I'm getting daily. I'm guessing most of you, at some point, you did something. You went, "You dummy." And what is it? That's a self-rejection. And so if we're going to experience God's love, or if we're going to love others, we're going to need to walk in His love. The Bible tells us this, Jeremiah 31:3. It says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Now, think about that. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's a pretty long time, right? Everlasting. From eternity past, God has loved you. He has chosen to love people forever. Let's go through some real quick Greek here as we define love. There's three words translated in the English language as love. From the Greek, there's eros. This is like a sensual love. The world is chasing after this one. Phileo, which like you get Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That phila, that's brotherly love. And then there's agape. And that's a selfless, unconditional love. It's passionately committed to the well-being of another person. Now, by the way, all three of those are legitimate forms of love. What we do, though, is we take them outside of bounds. And so you take the other two loves and you take them outside of the bounds of agape, and that's when you fall into sin. That's where the trouble is. Eros is a perfectly legitimate form of love. You know, when God put the two people in the garden and he said, be fruitful and multiply, he wasn't shocked when they were fruitful and multiplied, right? But it's in the confines of agape love. And the reality, and when we take them outside of that, they are cheap imitations. They fall short of what love is. In fact, love, if God had DNA, and I know he doesn't have DNA, technically, but if God had DNA, it would be love. It is who God is, and he's loved us. So let me give you three things we need to know about God's love. First of all, God's love is unconditional. Man, that is cool. For the few of you that raised your hand and said sometimes you messed up, man, that's good stuff. That God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter what. When we hate ourselves, he loves us. When we hate God, he loves us. Now that one just kind of floors me there. Unconditional love means there's nothing we can do. Yeah, you ever done that? I mean, I thought that kind of like this as an early Christian, young Christian. I'm like, okay, what can I do, you know, so that God's going to continue to love me? That God's going to love me? Like, yeah, that's crazy. I'm chasing after something that he has already given me. I need to walk in that love. It's not something I earn. I think we get mixed up with our own experience of relationships. Romans 5:8 tells us this. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, I hope you catch that. I hope you heard that. That while we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, when God says, here's life, here's hope, walk this way, and we're going this way. And in that condition, God loves us. He didn't wait for us. He didn't say, you know what, Don, when you respond and you become a pastor, I'm going to start loving you then. I'm going to pour out my love. No. It's when I'm headed in the opposite direction. He loved us. When I had nothing to offer. You know that when we reach up to God, it's not like we reach up and go, God, here's all my goodness. Will you love me? No, I reach up with an empty hand, and I receive his love, and he puts that love in us and through us, and that's how we can love others. Think about the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? He kind of sounded like he wanted to show off to Jesus. You know, like, hey, Jesus, what else do I have to do? Because I'm pretty darn good. You know those Ten Commandments? I've got them down. I've followed them all. And this guy eventually walks away from Jesus. But let me remind you something in that story that sometimes we forget. Mark 10:21 says, And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. This is a dude that walked away from Jesus. He says he looked at him and he loved him. Now, he loves him enough to say, I don't want you to stay where you're at. And that's a reality. God loves you just as you are, but he loves you so much he doesn't want you to stay there. All right? It says, he loved him and he said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He didn't love him. He didn't say, you know, do this and I'll love you. It says, he looked at him and he loved him. He said, here's something you're missing. God knows every detail about you. God knows the things that you would say, I don't want anybody in this building to know that I had this thought or I did this thing. God knows that, and he loves you unconditionally. Here's a question. What does God have to show you for you to know that he loved you? Is his continued outpouring of love, is the cross enough to know? Second thing about love is we need to receive God's love by faith. We have the ability to receive that or reject it, right? That's the way love works. You ever had that moment where you're going to tell somebody you love them? You're in that relationship, and it's that scary moment where, is this the moment where they say, okay, and they walk away, or I don't love you. We have that ability to respond to God's love. Yeah, or they're going to say, I love you, or we're going to say, I love you, and they're going to look back at us and say, thank you. That's what friends. But anyways, Galatians 2:20 and 21, the Apostle Paul says this: I live by faith. How do I live out this love? He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. I want you to notice something. He says, I live by faith. Faith's not a one-time thing. You know, and sometimes we act that way in church. Like, well, you know, back in 19 whatever, I came forward and I put faith in Christ and I've been in the way ever since. Yes, you have. Faith isn't a thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. It isn't the starting line. It's more like a foundation. It's a daily thing that today, Lord, I'm going to have faith in you. Today, I believe that you love me. And today, I'm going to go out and love others because you love me. This leads us to our action step. Number three, we need to reflect God's love by loving others. So accepting or receiving God's love, that's not the end of the story. He actually sends us out on mission. We're called to have faith, but we're also called to do something. And Jesus is going to tell us what we need to do. John 15:16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit. Now that's pretty cool. Let's just pause. Every person in here, God looks out. And he says, I want you. I want you on my team. You ever been at, you know, where in PE, and there's that terrifying moment where you're like, I'm going to be the last one to get picked. You know, or they're like, okay, here. I guess we get Billy. Junior high has so many fun things in it, doesn't it? You don't want to go back there right now. But Jesus says, no, I want you. I want you on my team. I want you to be a part. I love you. I want you on my team. And he says, and I have appointed you. In other words, he has a task for each one of us to do. He says, I've appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. And he says, and so whatever you ask in my name, he will give to you. We'll explain that part later. But the thing is he chooses us to bear fruit. And part of that fruit is love. He says, you know, I'm not just pouring love into your life, but I'm pouring love into your life because I want you to pour that out to others. And by the way, if God's love is continuous and everlasting, it's not like you're going to empty your cup. Okay? Sometimes we hang on to things. And we're like, well, if I give this, then I'm out. Well, God's love doesn't work that way. It continues to flow. There's this massive outpouring. We should be flowing out love. Like we should walk by people and people go, what just happened? Those people at Hope Community Church, okay, they're a little bit weird, but gosh, they love people. They love me. They know that I'm messed up and they still love me. Man, their God must be something awesome. I want to be a part of what they're doing. And Jesus gave that picture. I've already read it. He says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So, now, command is like a, it's not an optional thing, right? I mean, Jesus has his disciples and he's like, hey guys, if there's some people in your neighborhood and they live the way you do, you know, they're pretty decent neighbors, they vote the right way, you know, they got the right signs in their yard. I want you to go ahead and love those guys. He's like, I have a command. He's like, your messed up neighbor? He says, I want you to love. I want you to love that person equally. Well, but here's the thing, everybody in here, you are somebody else's neighbor. You know. And the reality is, I don't know that neighbor. But you know who does? God. And he looks out at your neighbor and he says, you know what, that's somebody I created in my image and my likeness. I have a design, I have a purpose for that. And somebody's got to reach across. Somebody's got to reach across. You know that God sends out the church to be missionaries? And you know what we've done with the society? We've said to the society, come to us. You cross the bridge. You come this way. We're asking those that need hope to become the missionaries. Instead of us going out and loving people right where they're at. Because isn't that what God did for us? He loved us right where we're at. And here's the reality. You might be several steps away from dying for your weird neighbor or that annoying person that works in that same office with you. I don't know if anybody has an annoying person that works in that office. I'm guessing there's at least one. But you know what? And here's the reality. Tell me if any of you are like me. I've got room to grow. And so let's start where we're at. Let's come to that place and say, okay, you know what, God? I'm not where I'm at. But I don't want to stay where I'm at either. I want it today. And maybe today would be a good day to say, you know, I haven't loved as I have, but I want to. And I'm going to start. I'm going to receive your love, and I'm going to go out and love others. And if there's people that I haven't loved, show them to me, Lord. And I might need to even go to that person. Just, Wesley, man, I haven't loved you like I should. And Wesley's going to be like, this is cool. And we go on. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know you are my disciples. They're going to look at us, not by what we believe, and that's all important stuff, and how we organize our service, and all that, that's all important, but they're going to look at us and say, do they love one another? And when they see that we love, they're going to say, man, they must be disciples of Jesus. So how are we going to reach this community? How are we going to go out there? We're going to love people. We're going to love people right where they're at. People that live differently, think differently. Like I said, vote differently. All kinds of things differently. We're going to love them right where they're at. And that's my challenge. Hope Community Church, love people. Love people differently. That are different than you, love them as Christ has loved you. We're going to have the worship team come on up. And maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't know if I've ever come to the place where I've received God's love. I don't know if I've come to the place where I've said, you loved me so much that you died for my sins on a cross. And I received that. I want to receive that today. I want that. And as I look at my relationships, I want to love differently. I want to love better. Is there anybody in here that you're thinking, man, I'd like to love better. I'd like to love more deeply. Okay. As the worship team leads us in worship, let's go before Him and say, and just tell God that. I mean, you can come up here to the Snailer if you want. You can do that where you're at. That's all between you and God. But let's love people.